Welcome to the Action Drug Rehab Hour here on your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. I'm Kerry Kwasin. I am your host, and it's good to be here today. What a beautiful day, I will tell you. I mean, from rain and cold to nice. Yeah, so let's all take advantage of that. And I just want to do a quick congratulations to a friend of mine, Edmund, with Jewelry Fix. I was over there getting my jewelry fixed today, and I always go there for that, but he had a grandbaby, his first. So I just wanted to say, how cool is that? So congratulations on your grandbaby. And Louie, you're with me today, aren't you?
I am here today, Kerry. How are you doing?
I'm all good. So good. I guess we did a show last week, actually a special show, just to kind of educate people on what's going on out there.
And yeah.
And it got a lot of attention, didn't it?
It sure did. Yeah, it sure did, with just stuff happening here in Santa Clarita at Arroyo Seco, and then as it was also mentioned on that interview with my co-news director, Jade, mm-hmm. There was that incident down at Van Nuys Junior High School.
Yeah, middle school. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's sad.
Well, that's what actually, if you think about it, that's the last couple pieces of news we've been doing, was up here for a middle school and Van Nuys for a middle school. And that's what I've been saying for the past 40 years of doing this. This drug stuff starts young, you know, almost always in middle school.
Yeah.
So we really need to start paying attention to what's going on. But anyways, go on.
So let's jump into this. There are a lot of different ways kids are taking drugs these days. Mm. One of the most recent ones that we've been talking about a little bit lately, especially with you and Jade last week, is vaping.
Yep.
A lot of people, my assumptions here, it seems like a lot of people just, they don't take vaping seriously. They just think it's a
rite of passage.
Just, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about vaping, because when I was just getting out of high school, it was cool to go hang out with your friends and do the flavored hookah.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 2012, long time ago for me at least.
Did you do that?
I did not.
Oh, I was ready to do an intervention on him.
No, I never got into the hookah. I will say I did try a vape once with no nicotine in it, and I thought it was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I just did. Anyway.
With no nicotine in it?
Yeah, it was just flavored.
Okay.
It was just flavored vape.
No, I get it.
It was like the electronic hookah.
Right.
It was, you don't have to have the coals, the tobacco, the water. You just have this little device mm-hmm. in your hand. So let's talk about that. For parents that are, you know, still having their children at home that are just graduating high school, maybe in the first years of college, they're sitting with their buddies in the backyard by a fire, whether it's smoking a cigar or a vape. What do you say to those parents? Is that concerning? Should it be?
Of course it is, and yes. So let's just talk about addiction for a second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into where you were. When we're young, we all have what you call contracts. There's two different sets of contracts. Contract number one, when I grow up, I want to be a radio show host or a drug counselor, you know what I mean? Or something like, or news director.
Right.
Or something like that. And those are contracts that change, you know, and that's fine. Then we have another set of contracts. Remember these?
Oh, yeah.
When I grow up, I'll never. Remember those?
I do.
And almost every child, the contracts they have when they're little is I'm not going to smoke cigarettes, because everybody knows that tobacco kills people. Nicotine kills, causes cancer. They teach you that in freaking kindergarten. In fact, if you buy a pack of cigarettes, on most packs of cigarettes, here's what it says. It says, the Surgeon General. Now, just for the people listening, who is the Surgeon General? Who is the Surgeon General? You know who it is, right? It's the top doctor.
Right.
So it says this, the Surgeon General, in other words, the top doctor, has determined. What does that mean? Has determined.
He figured it out. He learned through his studies.
It's a fact.
It's a fact, yeah.
So let's go through it again. The Surgeon General has determined that smoking causes. What does that mean? It used to say might.
Now it will.
Now it doesn't.
Yeah.
So the Surgeon General has determined that smoking causes lung cancer, emphysema, and it says a bunch of other stuff.
Right.
That's on most packs of cigarettes. So the reason I'm going there is why, and I'll explain it more in a minute, but why would anybody smoke something that tells you on the box it's going to kill you. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Isn't that insane? Seriously. So for anybody that's listening, I'm not trying to throw a wrench in your day, but before you put a cigarette in your mouth, look in the mirror and ask yourself what it is that you hate about yourself, that you're smoking something that tells you on the box that it's going to kill you. Crazy, isn't it?
It is. And on a completely different note, but same area, I mean, sometimes you go onto these food delivery apps, mm-hmm. or even if you're in a drive-thru, it'll say, hey, chemicals in this food
right.
have cancer, can cause cancer.
Right.
So it's the same thing. I mean, I know we're not here to talk about nutrition and food, but mm-hmm. it's all over the place.
Yes, we got to really be careful what we put into our bodies. Remember, we only have one body. If we screw it up, it's over.
Yep.
But back to where I was going. So there's two different kinds of addicts. This is what I'm trying to say. Addict number one is somebody that decided, you know what, I'm never going to smoke cigarettes. I'm not going to vape. I'm not going to use drugs. I'm not going to do all this stuff. And they mean it. But they start hanging out, and you said it perfectly. They started hanging out with those guys over there in middle school. They look cool. Everybody's having fun, right? Mm-hmm. And they hang out. And all of a sudden, in the old days, somebody would say, Louie, you want a cigarette? And most everyone at first time would say, no. I don't want to smoke. I know it's going to kill me in their brain. But after they're there every day, they get desensitized. And one day they go, what the heck? And they take their first hit. Now, things change dramatically because instead of cigarettes, now it's vaping. But really, okay, let me ask you all a question. What's the freaking difference? It's still tobacco. It's still nicotine, I mean. So, in fact, I was watching the news two nights ago, and they said that they're now considering, or they believe that vaping actually caused more heart problems than cigarettes. So there's so much unknown when it comes to that. But follow me for a second. So, all right, I'm never going to smoke cigarettes. I'm not going to vape. I'm not going to use drugs. Oh, I'm hanging out with these guys. What the heck? I'll take a hit. It's only a vape. What did we just do? We broke a contract that we made when we were probably in kindergarten. How do we clean that up? It's really simple, right? It's only a cigarette. It's only a vape. It's only nicotine. I'll never smoke pot. And they mean it. But then all of a sudden, Louis, somebody says, you're still hanging out with these cool people, right? They didn't get the memo.
Right.
So somebody says, want to hit? What is it? Well, it's pot. And mostly everybody says, oh, no, I'm not going to use drugs. I will never use drugs. What do you mean drugs? This is marijuana. It's THC. It's legal. Why won't, and they actually convince themselves that this isn't really a drug. It's only pot.
Right.
And they take their first hit. Now, what did that do?
Again, it broke a contract.
It broke a contract they made when they were little, but they did two other things. You know what that is? One is they just now joined that group. They are now part of that group. All they got to do is smoke a little bit of pot and vape and hang out on the corner and say, love you, do, and all that kind of fun stuff. But they also smoked something that made them feel different, that made them feel high, that made them feel good. How do you tell someone that's 12 or 13 or 14 or 43 that that's bad? And they don't see the issues yet.
Right.
The only thing they know is they're part of something, they fit in, and they feel good now. And their self-esteem goes up because they're part of something. So how do they clean this up? It's really simple. It's only pot, I'll never.
Right.
And they mean it. But they're still hanging. By the way, there's only two reasons why a child will smoke a cigarette or vape. One, we just talked about, right?
Correct.
When everybody else is doing it, and what the heck. And two, sorry families, it's a learned behavior from home. That do what I say, not what I do, is a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Your child is going to mimic what you do. You want them not to do something, then don't do it yourself. Anyways, go on. I see you want to ask me something.
Well,
you're like jumping off your seat.
Just before you get too ahead of here, I do have a question. I know we're talking here primarily about vaping with children in the schools, but while we're just on the topic, for those who may be listening who say, well, you know, Carrie, I've been smoking cigarettes for the last 25 years, and I want to quit. So instead of smoking cigarettes that have all these carcinogens and all the this's and the that's, but I still need, or I'm still trying to wean myself off the tobacco, so I'm using a vape. which in the past people have said is more healthier than a cigarette, which you just said you read the study that it's actually bad for your heart.
It was on the news, yes.
Yeah. What do you say to these people? Are they just making excuses to keep getting that nicotine? I can't say that they're making excuses because they don't want to quit, but it's a hard thing to kick. So what do you say to people that are using vapes for that purpose?
You know, my life's kind of an open book, and I've been clean and sober. This Christmas Eve will be 42 years.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. But you know when it's been 33 off of tobacco. That was harder for me to quit than anything I've ever done before. Because you do it all day long. It's just kind of, and the withdrawals are bad. So I get it. But vaping actually started, remember when it started with e-cigarettes and vaping and all that? And what it was at the time, it was to help people stop smoking.
Right.
And maybe children wouldn't smoke, but what it did is it replaced smoking. More children today are vaping than ever smoked cigarettes before because of that thinking. It's only a vape. It's not tobacco. It's not a cigarette. It doesn't have all the stuff that cigarettes have. So now we have almost the whole freaking generation vaping.
Right.
So, and now they're also finding out all these things, how bad it is. But let's face it, anything you breathe in besides air and you put into your lungs, hold it and blow it out can't be good. So, and a lot of it is, it's nicotine. We know that.
Right.
So and other stuff, which we will get into as we go through the show. But it was actually brought over to help people stop smoking, and it replaced it. In fact, replaced it to a point where more children now are doing it than ever just started smoking before. Does that answer your
question? It does. So would you say the intent was good, but the outcome was bad?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely say that because at first I remember people were starting to vape to stop smoking. And then it just mushroomed.
Yeah.
But you know what? Again, everything's different today, Louie.
It sure is.
It's a different world out there today. You know, and peer pressure is different and family involvement is for some families not really existent.
Right.
So if you know that children are connected with their friends, not their parents, they make choices that are not very healthy. You know, and back to the contracts. So once they start breaking contracts, they vape. They smoke cigarettes. They smoke weed. It's just their contracts are already broken. So, okay, I smoke some weed. I'll never use hard drugs. And every kid in the world means that, right?
Yeah.
But they're at a party, and they smoke a little bit extra weed one day, and they drink a little bit of tequila, and then somebody says, hey, buddy, try this, you know? And they go, no, but they smoke a little bit more weed, and they drink a little bit more booze, and before you know it, they have a pipe in their mouth, and they're smoking meth. And they don't even know it. I mean, it's just one of those kind of things they did naturally. And you don't have to use those kinds of drugs more than one time to get emotionally addicted if you have an addictive personality. It's a one-time deal because it's a shortcut to the pleasure zone of your brain, and it makes you feel different, better, and than you ever felt before, and that's what people chase. That's that addict, and then we're dealing with the other addicts, which is the ones that got accidental addicts. They went to a doctor, they had surgery, they were put on pills, and it goes on from there.
And it's So let's talk about, and if we have to take a break, cut me off here, but let's talk about the emotional side of vaping, whether it's tobacco or nicotine, rather, or THC. Some of these young people, students, children, whatever you want to call them, might be using them to cover up a hard time, stress, pain. In your experience over the last, 40 years of doing what you've been doing, how have these drugs amplified or worsened the original problem? And how often has a narcotic actually ever, in your experience, fixed something? Or is that...
Right. No, I get the question. First, I don't believe in 90... It's really unusual for somebody to start using drugs because of emotional stuff. They continue to use drugs because of it, if that makes sense. They start using drugs because they start hanging out with people. They're doing things they shouldn't be doing. They're in places they shouldn't be, and they want to, what you call, experiment.
Right.
And once they get high, they realize, whoa, this is helping me cope with stuff. Because obviously, I mean, when we're young, we're trying to figure out two things. Where do we hang out? Where do we belong? What crew or persons do I need to be around? What do I want to do with my life? And how do I deal with stuff? There's a lot of insecurities and stuff. And once they start getting high, a lot of that goes away. So what becomes their friend becomes their worst nightmare later, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those kind of things. But let's just talk about, if you watch the news lately, here in Santa Clarita, we had a middle school kid that had a medical emergency at one of the middle schools, right? A child.
Yeah, yep.
And rumor has it might have been something like vaping. And here's what I want people to know. There's difference. Let's talk about just vaping for a minute and marijuana, okay?
Yeah.
When somebody is smoking marijuana, what does that mean? That means they put marijuana in a pipe and they smoke it, right?
Yep.
Where they put it in zigzag papers, they roll it up, and they smoke it. And it's leaves and buds, and that's what they're smoking. Unless it's been spiced or cut with something.
Right.
Which is not that unusual today. Now, when somebody vapes, that's not leaves anymore.
That's concentrate.
That's concentrated THC. So I will not call that marijuana. That's THC. It's different.
Correct.
So you're taking the THC out of the plant, and you're making it seriously concentrated, and it's almost 100% THC. Versus in a marijuana thing, it could be 25%. So you're now looking at a completely different drug that does completely different stuff to your mind.
So how would you compare? I know you just said it's a 25. When you smoke weed, it's a joint. It's not 100% concentrate. So if a student or any, not to single out students here, but just anybody in general, if they were to vape, just say, I don't know, three puffs of a vape of THC, do you know how many joints or blunts or however you want to call it that would be equivalent to?
A lot. Because let's face it, you're putting 100% of THC in your body right now. If you look at the persons up here, or the 10 children in Van Nuys that had some kind of lightweight overdose, that's not unusual. I see that all the time. In fact, sadly, I've put quite a few people in psychiatric wards, mental health clinics in the last year, almost more for THC-induced psychosis than crystal meth.
Wow.
It's really a frightening deal, because everybody thinks, you know what, it's only pot. Let me get it straight. The THC that they're vaping and eating is not pot. It's THC.
Right.
And it's many, many times stronger than marijuana is. And I'm also talking to people that are smoking some of this new grade of pot. And they're always saying they're one hit away from psychotic. I heard it last night from somebody. I'm always one hit away from being psychotic. And I could feel it. If I smoke too much, the anxiety attacks and the panic attacks that come over my body is insane. So it is not the THC that from the old days. I mean, it used to be, what, 0.3 milligrams? Now it's 25 or 30 in a joint or a blunt. And it's 100% in these edibles and in these oils. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's just a scary deal. And you got to also remember that we're talking about teenagers now. We're talking about children that their brains aren't developed to their mid-20s. And these are 13 and 14-year-old kids smoking this high-concentrated THC that's going right into their brain. Of course they're having problems. Of course they're having somewhat of a psychotic reaction to this thing. Of course they're having panic attacks and anxiety attacks. Their brain's not even freaking developed, and look what they're doing.
Exactly. So you have been pushing for a while now to get Narcan into the schools. As of about two months ago, I'm losing track of time here, there was success. All the schools now in the Hart District at least, have it. Right. I know other school districts in the Santa Clarita Valley are still trying to get it, are discussing whether or not to get it, so on and so forth. Let's talk about what happened. We mentioned the student that had the medical emergency last Wednesday, I believe it was. Who was Narcan'd? Just because you're Narcan'd or have Narcan applied, whatever the proper terminology of that is there, that doesn't mean you overdosed. Let's talk about why a medical professional, whether it be a school nurse, a law enforcement officer, firefighter, or even just a civilian would administer Narcan to somebody.
I think we need to take a break, but as soon as we get back from break, we will get right into that. This is the Action Drug Rehab Hour on your hometown station. Welcome back to your hometown station, AM 1220 and 98.1 FM. I'm Kerry Quash, and I am your host. I'm here with Louis. I'm one of our news guys here at KHTS, and it's fun to have you in here. I always enjoy that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and it's my pleasure to be here with you, and it's fun talking to you and picking your brain about and a sad tragedy that we're facing, but it's good that people are being informed, and hopefully something will be done to stop what's going on out there.
Don't hold your breath. I mean, you can't buy your way out of this, and you're not going to arrest your way out of this, and you can educate. So it's going to take a little of everything right now, Louis. It's going to take education. It's going to take law enforcement. It's going to take stricter rules, more penalties. All kinds of different stuff right now, but and also it starts at home.
Yeah.
So we got to educate parents. That's a big one right now.
Yeah. So before the break here, I asked about Narcan being put in schools, and I want to hear your take on what happened and explain to me, Kerry, why someone might administer Narcan to an individual.
You got it. First of all, I am super impressed that Narcan is going into just about all the schools right now across the country. I know we held a press conference here, Action, along with KHTS, and we really pushed for that to happen, and it happened pretty quickly. So I'm very happy that we accomplished that, and people are now paying attention to the crisis we have out there. You can't take risks anymore, Louis. If there's a medical emergency and somebody is sick, you almost got to take it for granted that there possibly could be an opioid thing going on there. So I'd much rather see some the first responders be proactive and give Narcan to that individual than be sorry. If that makes sense, because Narcan is not going to hurt anyone. The only thing it's going to do is if somebody's going into an overdose from an opiate or fentanyl or anything like that, it will take you out of the overdose if it happened, if it's quick enough.
Right.
What it does is when you're using opiates, it gets to the receptors of your brain. What Narcan does, it knocks them off.
Okay.
So it turns it off. It turns that that overdose into immediate whoa, and people you've heard about it, right?
Yeah.
We actually had a fire department here. With they gave somebody Narcan, the guy snapped out of it and punched the fireman and ran because he missed all the ugly. You know, all he knows is he got high and now somebody's putting something up his nose and giving him CPR.
Yep.
But I'd much rather see a first responder be proactive and give somebody Narcan, which we know won't hurt them, but will save their life if it's an opiate.
So how do you explain then someone being sick from – obviously there's probably a lot of unknowns why you're saying it's good to be proactive.
Mm-hmm.
But right now on December 5th, there is a lot of people getting the flu who are vomiting, who are getting sick.
Right.
I mean, you don't want – parents and you, just because your kid or your friend starts to throw up, you don't want to be like, oh my gosh, he's taking fentanyl.
Of course not.
So how do you draw the line as to when you would consider Narcan someone who might be showing symptoms of being sick or not, if it's just possibly the flu?
That's a really good question, but I think the flu is a pretty obvious thing. When somebody's sick and throwing up, you know they're sick.
Right.
When somebody's overdosing from a drug, It's there's a little bit more signs than that. They're shallow breathing. They're a little bit of panic going on, and so they could actually pass out.
okay,
and vomit and that kind of stuff. That's when you don't want to take a chance. I mean, yeah, if somebody's throwing up and you're still concerned, be there, be right close, and make sure that they're okay and be ready. But Narcan, you'll know when you need to Narcan somebody is what I'm saying. It's a little more of a medical emergency than somebody just throwing up.
Gotcha. Okay.
If that makes sense.
No, it does. Because I'm just...
Yeah. Because you're right. I don't want to catch... what if I get the flu and somebody's putting Narcan in me?
It's like, no, go away. I'm not Narcan. Yeah, no, you're lying. You just want to keep that high.
Yeah,
no,
what's the CPR doing on here? Stop. but, you know, if you think about it, just having Narcan in the schools, I already know it saved lives. I already know that. I know of school districts, and I'll keep it to me, but that actually save lives with Narcan already.
Right.
So it's up to them to want to report it. But imagine if we didn't have Narcan, where this country would be right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a miracle drug. It really is.
It really is. When we came back to you, you said it also starts just the whole drug crisis with students starts with education. Growing up, I was always told by my parents, don't do this, don't do that. And sometimes it's, hey, don't touch the stove. Why? Because it's hot. Yeah, it's not that hot. You touch the stove, you burn yourself. And you're like, okay, mom was right. That hurt. Not going to do that again. Mm-hmm. With how many things are – with how many of these drugs nowadays being laced with fentanyl, there might not be a, hey, I learned my lesson. Fortunately, there are some cases that are. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they're going to take that as a hitting rock bottom and say, I got to get my life back on track is one thing. But how can parents beat that into their kids' head? Don't do drugs. Don't do drugs, because there might not be a crash and burn and get it back on your feet and go at it again.
You're right. We don't have that luxury anymore. I mean, we really have to start talking to our children and hardwire them, I believe, when they're in kindergarten. As soon as they understand what's going on, we need to hardwire them that all drugs are bad. The message that people are giving out right now is the wrong one. The message we're giving out today is fentanyl kills. Well, heck, everybody knows that. But most of the people that I've known that have overdosed and lost their lives to fentanyl didn't buy fentanyl. Most of the people who die from a fentanyl overdose, you bought other drugs. They went online and they bought a Percocet or a Vicodin or an Oxy, and they took a pill or a half of that pill, and it was cut with fentanyl that no one knew, and they died. A lot of the people, if you pay attention to the news, that are losing their lives, bought crystal meth or cocaine, and they ended up dying from a fentanyl overdose. They didn't buy fentanyl. You know, we have, when people come into my drug rehab, almost every single person that's come in there that has been using fentanyl has been Narcan a minimum of once. I was talking to a girl on Friday, and this is not unusual, that came in for methamphetamine. And she says, I don't understand why when I use meth, I start nodding out. And I'm hearing that over and over and over again. Fentanyl is in just about everything right now. So the message that we need to be giving to children and drug users and everyone is all drugs are deadly right now. Anything that you use that you buy on that street, you're gambling with your life every single time. The only drug that you can be safe and say, this is okay, not okay to, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
That it's not going to kill me from fentanyl is something that you get straight from a pharmacy, in from the pharmacist to your hand. You know, we just can't be taking any more risks. And this is to the parents out there. I hear all the time, in the last 40 years, I hear this a lot. Or I've heard this over and over and over again, thousands of times. My child recreationally uses. There's no such thing as that anymore. Only because it only is that one drug, that one time that can kill him or her. So we don't have the luxury to even allow our kids to think it's okay to experiment with drugs when you're experimenting with things that could be the last thing they ever experiment with.
Yeah. No, I don't mean to get like too in the weeds here or say something to paranoia anybody. But I know now.
No, they should be paranoid.
Well, yeah, because I know nowadays you can have if you have a medical marijuana, I don't smoke marijuana, so maybe I don't know the full rules on this, but I know if you have a medical marijuana license, you are able to have marijuana from a distillery delivered to your house.
Dispensary, right.
Or dispensary. You can also have medication from a pharmacy mailed to your house.
Correct.
How safe is that being mailed? Is it? Is there still a way that stuff's being tampered with in the mail? Has that happened yet? Should people maybe avoid having medication even if it's from the local pharmacy shipped to the house?
I believe that there are a lot of pharmacists, and there's a lot of pharmacies that do that right now, pharmacies, and, and I'm sure that that's legitimate. If you're going to be smoking pot, and I'm not a fan for that, because I know of the other problems that come with it. But if it's something that you choose to do and you're not going to stop, you definitely should be getting it from a dispensary, period.
Not be having it delivered from a dispensary, going and picking it up.
And you want to make sure that the dispensary is a legal dispensary, because there's some that are not. We are testing people right now, and it's coming back showing fentanyl. And they're not using fentanyl. We're testing adolescents, and we've had quite a few adolescents that came back, their tests showing fentanyl. And the only thing we know they're using is they're smoking pot. So you just don't know what's in anything right now. You really need to be safe. If you're gonna smoke weed, get it from a legitimate dispensary. If you're going to use drugs, if you can't get it from a pharmacy and a prescription from a doctor, anything you buy out there, you're risking your life. Period. End of subject. It is the number one killer for, they say, 18 to 45, and I say that's not true. It's more like 16 to 45.
Yeah.
I know quite a few, this is terrible, families that found their child dead in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on all across this country, is they're finding children and adults in the safest place in their world, in their own rooms, dead.
Right,
because they bought one freaking something online, and it wasn't what they thought it would buy.
Yeah,
I would actually call that murder.
Yeah,
they're actually thinking about they're trying to do that now. If any, they're trying to pass a law that if you sell fentanyl and somebody dies, it will be murder.
Yeah, well, it is. Like you said,
that might slow it down a little bit.
So, on that topic of prosecution. I know deputies, especially here in our Santa Cruz Valley, are working very hard and doing what they can to arrest drug dealers, people found with narcotics. However, the district attorney is dropping a lot of these cases. On that note, other than the district attorney, how do you feel our state and county leaders are, I mean, let's throw the federal government in there as well. How do you feel that our local leaders are doing to try to tackle this? Are they doing enough? Are they brushing it aside? Do you have any suggestions for the new elect Pilar Schiavo, who was just elected to the state assembly?
Right. I think everything has been brushed aside for many years. I've been screaming for years, it's coming and it's going to kill people and it's going to be worse than the 70s and fentanyl's coming and it's going to be an epidemic and all that kinds of stuff. But I will say in the last couple months, you can't hide it anymore, and everybody knows that. So it's not something that can be not talked about. And I think government is now starting to really pay attention. They're starting to do everything that they can do. The DEA is all over it. I mean, the problem is no matter how many times we stop people from bringing it across the border, it still gets here.
Right.
So are they doing enough? We're never going to be doing enough. Are they starting to really do what they think they can do right now? Yes. So I'm giving props to them. I believe that we live in Santa Cruz. I think we have the best the sheriff's department there is. I mean, we have the sheriffs that really are trying to make a difference. Look, they have Robbie Robinson there too.
Yeah.
An intervention specialist. His job is to go out and get people help.
Yeah.
So they're really trying to treat people. They're arresting people who need to be arrested. Good. They need to. They're trying to treat people that are using. So there's a lot of good stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I actually have a question for you, Kerry.
I have a question for you first.
Yes, please.
You were walking into the radio station today.
Yes, I was.
And you overheard two girls speaking.
That's right.
What'd you hear?
Well, it's probably two girls in their, I don't know, early 20s. Couldn't be much older than that. And one of them looks to the other one and says, yeah, you remember when I overdosed that time?
Isn't that crazy?
And I said to you when I got in here, this is not something that I ever heard or dealt with when I was in high school. I graduated same time as Louis in 2012. Mm. That was not common ground for kids our age.
The only time police and fire were at my school when I was in high school was because two kids thought they were cooler than one another and fights broke out.
Yes.
Now you see an ambulance at a school, and more likely than not, it's because of the drug epidemic.
Yeah, you hear about car crashes and stuff like that at 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. when somebody ran into something or went over a cliff or something. There's usually it has something to do with drugs or alcohol.
Right.
Almost always.
Yeah.
It's just so sad, though.
My question for you was when you were referring to how they're getting fentanyl over the border and it's mm-hmm. getting smuggled in, and you know people are having access to it now on the streets, even for the children that are not seeking drugs. I'm talking young ages, and they're 5 years old, 6 years old. I turned the news on this weekend, and some kid had been exposed to it. Why is that happening to kids who aren't even seeking drugs? You know, I'm talking children.
Because that almost every day, a child goes to the ER for eating their parents' or brothers' or sisters' gummies that are laced with – that are THC gummies or cookies or something like that. Remember, this is – the gummies, you'll say on the bottle, are 100% THC. So when a five-year-old gets his hand on something that looks like a piece of candy because somebody got too high and left it around, these kids don't know any different. They'll pick it up and eat it. And before you know it, there's a serious psychotic problem with that kid, and he needs to go to the hospital. I know one lady that her dog almost died from eating it.
Really?
Oh yeah, and
that's true. Those dogs don't go after anything.
But you know, we were dealing with a lady that came into our treatment program, and when the police went to her house, you know where they found her needle? In the crib underneath the mattress.
What?
Of a baby. So I mean, no, I could. That's not unusual. I hear stories like that more than you will know. Because when somebody's using drugs, the first things that goes is their morals and their ethics and their reasoning to reason.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to hide it where they think they are, and they're negligent and they don't think. So, yeah, we're having a pretty serious crisis now, more with THC in children, because it's cookies and brownies and gummies and that kinds of stuff. So does that answer your question? So it's kind of one of those kind of and again, when people are older – and they're using drugs, to them, drugs aren't a big deal, especially THC. They don't see the issues until it bites them in the butt.
Yeah.
So when I'm dealing with like a teenager and I'm saying to the parents, you know, your kid's, you know, seems to be in trouble, blah, 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 let's do something. And there's an issue where a parent does not want to act on it. Usually I already know why. It's because they are doing something that they don't want to, you know, the guilt is bothering them, so they don't want to jump on that. So it's a pretty big problem. Then I have parents that are saying, well, I do it, but my kid is in trouble. Well, hey, look, this is to all parents out there. Be to your kid what you want your kid to grow up and be.
Yeah.
Be to your kid what you want your child to grow up and be. Be the hero for your child. Don't do what I say does not work. Be the person you want your kid to be. Is it?
Yeah, kids love to – I mean, I personally don't have any children of my own, but – I have neighbors that have kids, and it's true. Kids love to mimic what their parents are doing.
That's right.
Dad's out working in the garage. When I was a kid, my dad, he'd be working out in the garage building something.
Uh-huh.
What do I want to do?
You want to be in there with him.
I want to go out there and sink some screws and shoot some nails into a piece of wood. That seems like fun. It's true. So when children see their kids doing something, they'll follow in their footsteps a lot of the times.
Yeah. But I don't know how to get the message to people out there right now, Louis. I don't know how to do it to understand how bad this THC is right now. It is not the pot that used to be from the 70s or even the 80s. It's a different drug.
From the parents that you've talked to who catch their kids secretly vaping, how many of them are doing something about it is to take it away, take them to you, or just... Are they just do a majority of them just brush it off like, all right, you're just vaping, that's fine?
I think since they legalized pot in this state. Used to be where parents would call us up and say, my kid's smoking a lot of weed. We need to get him help right now. Now they call up and they say, what was in his drug test or her drug test? And we say, wow, 300 milligrams of THC. And they go, that's it? And we go, yes. And they go, thank you, click.
So you think a majority of the people out there that are under 18 that are vaping, do you feel majority then their parents know it and they're just allowing it? Or would you say it's the other way still? Do you think a lot of it's still under the table? Hey, mom doesn't know what I'm doing. She works 16 hours a day. So does, you know, dad lives elsewhere. I'm just on my own.
I think if they don't know it, they're pretending they don't because they know.
Okay.
Parents know what's going on. They might not want to see it, but they know it. If they see it, then they got to deal with it. Anyways, I think we have to take a break. This is your Action Drug Rehab Hour. We will be right back. Welcome back to Action Drug Rehab Hour. I'm Kerry Quashen. I'm here with Louis, the news director here at KHTS. It's pretty exciting to have you in this room. I feel like I'm with royalty, buddy.
Ah, well, thank you. Likewise.
Yeah, so we've been talking a lot of stuff. We've been talking a lot about vaping and marijuana and fentanyl and the epidemic that we're having right now. And all of a sudden, we're in this spot.
Yeah.
In this time and place that you can't deny it anymore. You can't sweep it under the rug. The media knows it. All the officials know it. We know we have an epidemic. We know it's the number one killer right now. So it's kind of one of those kind of things. But again, I want to just, this is to the parents out there. And I've been hearing for so many years, my kid recreationally uses. Yeah. My kid's experimenting with drugs. Again, I don't know how to get this into your head that fentanyl is in almost everything right now. So whatever your kid's experimenting with, your kid is be playing Russian roulette every time they do something like that. So it's kind of one of those kind of conversations you better have with your child over and over and over again. You better make sure your kid knows that there's fentanyl in almost everything, especially your younger kids, because if they go to school, and look what just happened in Van Nuys, 10 kids, right?
10, yep.
10 kids, I think they ate edibles as well.
Yeah, they're saying edibles now. At first they thought it was something else, but they think it's edibles.
So which is perfect for where I want to go right now. If your kid's in middle school or elementary school or any grade, and somebody brings cookies, make sure your kid knows not to eat them. If somebody's giving him gummy bears or candy, make sure your child knows not to take it. If it doesn't come from you from you to them, it's not safe today.
Which is sad, because what do you always tell your kids? Sharing is caring.
Yeah,
you can't do that anymore.
No, well, you don't want to share anything today anyways. First of all, there's a lot of sickness out there, so you don't want to be sharing vapes and food.
Right.
But also, who knows where this stuff comes from? 10 kids ended up in an ER. Think about that.
That's a lot.
From eating something that ended up being laced with THC probably. So it's kind of one of those kind of things that you got to have these conversations with your kid. And hey, drugs are bad is not the conversation.
Right.
It's got to be many conversations, and you got to hardwire it into their brain. And they got to know that you love them and you care and you're watching.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? The one thing I will say out of this conversation, I know it's been a heavy conversation, a lot of what's wrong with the world, but the good thing is there's people like Harry who have survived being an addict of drug substances. And you know, Harry, what these people are going through.
Oh yeah.
I've talked to people that have I have a friend that's a cancer survivor, and she went through fentanyl withdrawal.
It's terrible.
She had a reaction to the patches. The doctor said, just stop using them. She went cold turkey off fentanyl, and it messed her up. So the reason why I bring this up is there are good people out there that know what drug addicts are going through, and there's help out there. It's here in Santa Cruz, there's Action Drug Rehab. You could reach out to Robbie Robinson at the sheriff's station. Even if this comes up on YouTube, if someone's listening to this in a different state, call Action. Carrie will talk to you. He can get you the help you need, or just reach out to your local law enforcement. They'll help get you the help you need. There's a good thing to come out of this.
I'm going to say anybody can recover. Yeah. Anybody listening can get clean and sober. Number one is you got to want it. You got to want it bad enough to die for it, because you want the drugs bad enough to take a risk of dying for it. So you got to want to be clean and sober enough to die for it, and then you can get it. It's got to come from your head to your heart. But there's always successes. I've been clean this Christmas Eve 42 years, and I'm with people every day that are clean and sober now that have been using fentanyl and pot and pills and meth or whatever it is that they're using. There's always hope.
Yeah.
And there's always a way to get it. Well, it's always a way to get yourself some treatment. And if I can't help you and you call us, I'll find a place that'll be able to help you. That's a fact. That's a promise.
Yep.
And another thing I just want to say out there, too, we've been pushing for Narcan to be in every school. I want it in every freaking classroom, because we don't have time to waste. And also, anybody that's living with somebody that's using drugs, you all should have fentanyl in your house, too. And you could, Narcan. Did I say fentanyl? Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that. You all should have Narcan in your house. And most of the pharmacies now are selling it. And if you're really in a panic and you need some, call me directly. I have some at the office. I will be glad to give you some. So Narcan should be in every house that has somebody that's using, in every classroom. Fentanyl should be nowhere. My mistake. Thank you for correcting me on that. But it's a scary time.
It sure is.
But there's always hope, like we were talking about. There's always hope. But
you're not alone, and that's what the enemy wants you to think, that you're the only one out there, and you're not. Right? No. Whatever it may be, drug addiction, whatever. There's always someone to talk to.
Drug addiction, mental health, suicide. I was talking to someone on the way here today that I actually got into a mental health facility. They actually picked this person up as we were in here. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say that it's a hard time right now with holidays coming and expectations. So please have no expectations. Be grateful for what you got and all that good stuff. And remember this: suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yep.
There are plenty of helplines. I know that there's a suicide helpline. Henry Mayo's has an ER where they can do a psych eval 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So there's no reason to have to face a crisis like that alone anymore.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I also want to say, look, it's the holidays, and let's love each other and be good to each other.
I love that. Not just for the holidays, but all year round.
Yeah, on that note, I want to thank people. I want to thank our listeners, and I hope today's show gives you some information that will help and save some lives. If you know somebody that's in any kind of a crisis when it comes to alcohol or drugs, or you think maybe they should hear this show, please share it with them. And I would suggest that whoever's listening to this show, go to Facebook and share this. It's that important right now. Let's save some lives.
Let's do it.
It's been a pleasure. My name is Gary Quashin. This is the Action Drug Rehab Hour on KHTS. Till next week.